that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. More when it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel. It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, June 5th, 2021. Here it is, June. Hey, there's a 91st day coming up because summer is just around the corner. It is. Want to welcome you here. And, men, we've got a full crew on this morning. Want to bring everybody on. And, Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining.
Must have his thing on mute.
Yeah, he might. Well, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Jason, good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
And
good morning.
And there's Tim. Yeah, there's Tim. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for joining us. And we welcome you, the Remnant. We know that that many of you do take time to join us on Saturday mornings to, well, talk about some current events and look at things from a biblical perspective as we see this Babylon falling. But we'll have the phone lines open this morning, and but we'll open up with prayer, and John, we'll sure ask if you would open us up in prayer, sir.
Sure. Our Father, who art in heaven, Lord, we just come before you this morning humbly, Lord. We ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to all the things that are going on in the world, Father, that you would show us what it is that's important for your people, the Remnant, show us how it ties to biblical prophecy and scripture. Father, I pray for your people, the Remnant, that they would hear you, the Lord, and that when they do, they would be obedient, understanding that your word says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, that you're ready to punish the disobedience of those who hate you and hate your people when our obedience is complete. I believe that's when we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and none of us are there yet, and we can't get there without the help of the Holy Spirit. Your word also says we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking for more Holy Spirit. We're asking for the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would be manifest in each one of us in whichever way that you see fit, knowing that when all of those gifts are present in your body, your church, there's power. We thank you, Lord, that for the last 40 years, you've given this ministry the gift of truth. And Father, we know that your word says that there will be those who won't believe the truth, and because of that, then you will send a strong delusional influence, and we can see that that is the case right now all throughout this country and throughout the world. We continue to pray for grace and mercy for your people in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, and that those wicked, vile, evil things that have been done in the dark are being exposed and shouted from the rooftops. We thank you that there is confusion in the camp of the enemy, and they are already devouring each other. And we thank you for the righteous judgment that is beginning to be manifest. But Father, I just pray that we would not fall for another wag the dog scenario with regards to this coronavirus. Father, that you would focus your people's eyes on those things that are important. And our greatest responsibility while here on this earth is to fulfill the Great Commission and share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, so we do. We pray, as your word says in Hebrews 1:14, that we can call upon you to send out your myriads of angels. Send your ministering angels to prepare those people's hearts and minds and souls that we can reach. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and send your warring angels to battle Leviathan. Father, hear our appeal to heaven to save America, heavenly kingdom. The true JERUSALEM once again. Father, let there be a spirit of repentance that would spread throughout this land. Remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears that they might hear and see the truth. Father, forgive us for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up men who fear nothing but you, and are willing to proclaim the truth no matter what the consequences. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Heavenly Father, and we pray through your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, remnant, the program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, June 5th, and if you'd like to call in, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913 is the number, and we'd be glad to take your call. I'll start out with a scripture verse this morning, and Jason, I know you've shared it several times over the years. I can remember hearing you say it as probably as much as the pastor, but it's Philippians 1:27-28, and it says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God." And there's you know, that kind of is broken up into four little pieces. And the first one is conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And that is for each and every one of us to do and, of course, to live by. And that's, you know, that's what this is, the way. And then it explains how to do that, of course, part of it with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not that we're always going to agree, but we're always going to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it was Paul that wrote, we preach Christ crucified. And beyond that, you know, there were disagreements and misunderstandings and what, but they preached Christ crucified and, of course, risen from the grave. And that is the faith of the gospel. And then the strength for us, number three, in no way alarmed by our opponents. What they do, they have the world, they have the non-followers of Jesus Christ, the non-believers, they have them scared to death and have. For what, 14, 15 months with this COVID virus. But we are told to not be alarmed. And then, why? Don't be alarmed, because if we are not alarmed by them, it is a sign of destruction for them. Here's your sign. It's destruction for them, but salvation for us, and both of those things from God. Their destruction and our salvation. And they go hand in hand. They do. And it just an encouraging scripture with everything going on. When we see the headlines, when we see what's going on with the economy, and we have to remember to have, I think, this basis that we are not to be alarmed. We are not to fear what they're doing, but to rejoice.
Amen.
Tim, you said earlier you guys got a little warm yesterday. Summer is just around the corner, and that... You guys getting some good heat there in Nebraska, growing the plants and in the field?
Little sunshine, kind of like a jungle down here. We got a little bit of tropical going on. Lots of rain and now the sun. So just trying to keep things mowed has been a chore. But the crops look good and we've got gardens are going and everybody's getting those in, and I'm really surprised at how many people are raising their own plant starts now. That just seems to really be coming. We lost a lot of our greenhouses over the last 2 or 3 years around, it seems like, and people are just stepping up and doing their own. So it's amazing. I mean, to see initiative being taken that way and continuing to move forward. So I've been excited about that. I mean, and I can't get over how many people are doing, you know, backyard livestock like chickens or guineas or things like that, and getting into that in a small way and continuing to move on. It occurred to me that the reason that they fear this hobby farming or cottage networking is because it's easy to control a giant super farm. But man, when you've got thousands of people out there who are all contributing to the food supply market, it's like herding cats trying to get them to let you take advantage of them. You know, they all go every which way. So it's like, yep, good luck with that. But I think that it's encouraging to see how many people are stepping up and doing something. I mean, practically everybody I know here is got some chickens or raising their garden, or they've got a calf put in to fatten up and just different things like that. And it's like, wow, that's really something to see that going on. So, from him.
Amen. Amen. Seeing that around here as well. They've, I think the Garden Club last week already had their big plant sale, and it was very well attended, and seeing that, yeah, seeing little greenhouses and gardens and whatnot popping up, it's encouraging to see that people hopefully are waking up to those things. Especially when you see places like up on the California-Oregon border and in Oregon, Washington, a lot of places that they don't have water, that they're not releasing water for farmland. We talked about that a few weeks ago when that news story broke. And the people don't realize that if you don't have water, you don't grow crops. So much of the farmland is dependent on stored water from wintertime, and then that being released, you know, and you count on that and you plan on that. And many of those farmers have planted their fields and invested their time and money, and then they're told there's no water. You know, that doesn't affect everyone immediately, but over time, and it may be a very short time, that effect will be felt.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. In Northern California, up there in Butte County, they just issued an order out there for Lake Orville to, they pulled several hundred houseboats out of the lake because of the fact that the water levels in the lake are at dangerously low levels. I mean, it's like, and the reason that's an issue is I don't know why it's dangerous, other than the fact that they can't, you know, irrigate with it or anything else. And a lot of people don't understand that most of those lakes that were done for flood control and for agriculture, and that, you know, the fun part of it is just an afterthought. I mean, it was, and not saying there's just anything wrong with having fun on a lake, but the other issue there is with those lakes is when the levels drop that low, they have to recertify a lot of those dams because the load shifts and the load changes, and as the lakes fill back up, then the dams have to be, you know, recertified and rechecked and you know, tried to be made safe. And they've got all these requirements in there for releasing this water now, and a lot of people don't want to see any of that in there. And it's like they need to go back and look at the early teens in the 1900s or so and find out about how much damage was done because of these massive floods, because most of these creeks, streams, and rivers, they didn't flow water all year long. You know, a few did, obviously, but a large portion of them had massive flooding after the spring thaw, and the rest of the year they were dry, you know, I mean, or nearly dry. And the advantage to having the dams there was we got to maintain water flow year-round, which encouraged wildlife and encouraged farming and gave a whole bunch of advantages as far as land damage and you know, usable land. And those, they're trying to regress us, and practically every aspect that we see, we know that. But it's interesting to me. My father-in-law used to say that, you know, you can't stop one drop of that water. When it falls up there, it's going to end up in the ocean. You can delay it. You can move it around, but you can't keep it, you know.
That's right. It's going to.
That's
gonna,
all you can do with it.
It's on a journey, and it's going to flow.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it
is proved, though. They just proved through their own documents that California Water Reclamation Division, which I guess is the wildlife division there in California now, is basically been dumping water into the ocean out of the reservoirs.
Yes.
So the reservoir should be full. They've only had, you know, a couple years of drought right now, and they said it should take about 7 years of severe drought to get them down to where they are right now. But they've proven that they've been dumping water into the ocean, just letting it go by, just so that they can create these catastrophe situations, putting farmers and ranchers and, I mean, California is huge agricultural industry that most people don't realize, dairy cows and all sorts of other things. But yeah, this is engineered by man to cause destruction. I don't know if you saw this too. It's not that I only saw it in one place, but we've heard about these cyber attacks, right? That first attacked the pipeline, affected fuel down in the southern part of the country, and now the JBS meatpacking cyber attack. But what we haven't seen is that there's like three major steel smelting plants in western United States. One's in Oregon, one's here in Pueblo, Colorado, and then there's one in Washington State, but and I think one in Arizona. But over the last couple of weeks, they've had catastrophic accidents that are going to take them offline for 4 to 6 months. Someone is attempting to shut down the manufacturing in this country completely. Don't know if it's a Greenpeace kind of thing, or I would suspect it's more diabolical than that. But yeah, there's people have probably experienced it, but there's a shortage of all kinds of things these days. If you've been to the store lately, you'll see that there's certain items that are no longer on the shelf, and that's only going to continue to get worse, in my opinion, by their engineered shortages.
Amen. Not only guns and ammo, but have you bought any plywood lately? Well, guys, we got a caller. Caller, thanks for holding, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, this is George Wolf. Am I the caller?
You are, George. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know that I sent a tithe recently that you should be receiving, and I was hopeful that you could send me a copy of the laminated fold-out document that you had on the Scriptures for America DVD Church recently.
Sure, George. That was on the full armor of God?
Yes.
I'll do it. I'll put one in the mail Monday.
Is it all right to listen on this line, or shall I hang up?
Yeah, not on this line. Let me give you
okay,
one of the...
Okay, because I haven't been able to get through on any other line, so I'll wait and try again on Monday night.
Okay. And then also the... Yeah, the phone lines that you can call and listen in on, they are kind of hit and miss. Sometimes they're working,
okay.
Sometimes they're not.
Well, thank you, and God bless all of you. You all have a real good Jesus glorified day today.
All right, George.
Rejoice always.
You as well. Amen. Thanks, George.
I'll get off the line.
Yeah, Remnant, we have a little... it is a laminated fold-out that explains the full armor of God. And I think we talked about that last week. Be glad to send it to you if you'd like. It's a good reminder. Many of us that have been on the ministry are accustomed to that. Many of us pray it on, put it on every day, and pray it on our families. But if you're not familiar with it, it is a good explanation of that armor that is so needed today.
Yeah, you know, another way to listen, if it's going out live on WTWW, is you can go to the website, WTWW, and hit the listen live, and the transmitter that you want to listen to, and it'll it comes through pretty crystal clear on your phone. I was listening to Pastor Peter's message after my live message last week on the way home, which was, oh boy, talk about a powerful message, Jason. Holy Spirit definitely leading with picking the messages at the proper time. But that's another means of listening live. Jason, probably you know other ways to listen live if you want to.
Yeah, go to the website, sfawbn.com. Go to the website, sfaw.org. You know, we've got it set up pretty good. We just changed platforms, so even people that are listening in, watching in on a phone for our live services, you can get, it's actually pretty impressive, the picture quality that you can get, the audio quality that you can get off of, you know, any, they call them these smartphones, but geez, I think they're getting dumber all the time. There's just go to the website, and we've made it really user friendly for people that are trying to listen in, to watch in on a phone. And you know, technology's come a long way, so you know, we're constantly trying to improve that kind of thing. And you know, it's you know, phones are handy. You know, it's like I for one hate doing stuff on my phone as far as any kind of internet kind of stuff, but I guess that's the new norm. Is there's a lot of people that's the majority of their computer usage is done through a phone. So you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, so there's just, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I was just texting one of the Getting Elite Acres of Diamond men, and he was saying, well, you can be watching for Fauci to get Arkansas-ed here before too long. You can bet that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Obama and a bunch of them are trying to get a hold of him to meet somewhere.
Yeah, he might get shot in the back of the head and commit suicide.
Yeah. Well, I think it's another whack the dog scenario, because what's been going on in Arizona with regards to the audit from the 2020 presidential election is about to be revealed. It appears that they're going to do a full forensic audit in Georgia and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And so I think this is to keep the mainstream media. I mean, it has to be something super major to keep the people's minds and the media off of exposing the election fraud in the 2020 presidential election. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm pretty sure that that's what the plan is.
I think so, too. You know, and if you look at everything that's going on with Fauci, too, it's like, you know, he's coming out and saying stuff, or Biden's coming out and saying stuff. You know, Fauci says this and this and this. Well, that's what Trump was saying all along. You know, we need to look into, you know, this virus originating from China. Now he's spouting off all the same stuff. And where, you know, everybody's just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, we're getting our money.
That's right. Yeah, the people don't care for the most part. So many of them don't. It was a headline this week. State Department leaders were warned not to pursue COVID origin investigation. And that's coming from former officials in the State Department. That, you know, that exactly. And guess where the origin was? Just like our former president said, it's the China virus. Absolutely it is. I saw another headline that said, we are in Biden cover-up mode to keep from having to hold China accountable. And so these things are out there. But the people, for the most part, those that are blinded, those that are under that spell, I like how you put it, Jason, just give me my money. Send that check in. I've had several people contact me, and this child care, this latest child care grant, act, whatever you want to call it, starting in July, $300 a month for every child under six and $250 a month for children 7 to 18, that supposedly the government's just going to start sending checks, and it's good for a year. Every month, and it's training. It is the government just training these blind sheep to
guaranteed universal income.
Guaranteed universal income to be dependent on the government, to look for that check, And
welcome to socialism.
Absolutely it is. They've yeah. talked about it. They've talked about it over the last several years about guaranteed income and stuff, and they just put it in a in one of the COVID relief bills. And that's supposed to start in July. They couldn't start it in May. They were wanting to, but supposed to start in July. Just money here. We'll just print more of it. And even with that, the economy, you know, have you seen gas prices? I think I filled up yesterday, 289 or yeah, 289. And that was the cheapest place in town right out here at the fly store.
That's for unleaded.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your
but
diesel?
It's double what it was last summer.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yep, it is.
Double what it was last summer.
It is.
And it's kind of funny when you see people with the old Biden stickers on their vehicles that you just say, hey, how's that working out for you? And they'll grumble and price of fuel. But I saw the greatest bumper sticker. I probably already said it, but this one said, if you're driving around in your car with your mask on and nobody else in the vehicle, you don't need a Biden-Harris sticker. We already know. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I've seen one that said some guy walked out of Walmart and got in his car, and it was kind of a funny, and he said, I got to get this off before people think I'm a liberal. So, kind of the same. We've definitely approached this bread and circuses kind of effect, you know, where the bread is, they're shipping that money out to everyone, and it's that division the Bible talks about between the goats and the sheep, or the tare and the wheat. But then the circuses part kind of ties into that whole, now we've got these vaccination, what do they call them, lotteries. I think somebody already mentioned it, but, you know, New Mexico's got their new one out, and it's called Vax to the Max is what they're calling their lottery. And $10 million in cash prizes. And Ohio's got one. They're trying to get rid of it because it's backfiring on them big time. And, you know, it's just a big circus. I mean, that's all it is. And
$10 million ain't going to do jack if you're dead.
No, exactly, right.
Or worse.
Or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dying lets you off easy, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, California does, I think they're doing weekly or daily drawings for $50,000, you know. Click here to see if you've won $50,000. And Kentucky has shot at a million. Hey, you get a shot at $1 million. Could you just imagine what Pastor the way he would be mocking this? It is just really.
Well, you know, it's exactly like putting a shell in a revolver and giving her a spin. That's your shot at $1 million. You know,
yeah.
Well, and put it up to your head and squeeze the trigger.
I mean, the cheap whores are probably mad that traded getting the shot for a beer or a joint or a donut. they're probably mad, the cheap whores, that they didn't hold out for something more valuable.
Yep.
Wow, it was worth that? Yeah, no kidding, right? So, you know, I also heard,
in all sincerity, though, they're tightening the noose. I don't know if you saw, I think we talked about it. A couple weeks ago, OSHA came out and said that it was the responsibility of employers to keep track of adverse effects regarding the vaccine and that they couldn't force their employees to take it. They've since pulled that back this week. The other thing was HIPAA is supposed to be protection of your medical records. And I know for a fact that there was a family I know that their son was hurt and went to the emergency room and they did some tests and things like that. And the parents could not access that information about their own 12-year-old son or whatever, 15 I think he was, and until they had the permission of their child because of HIPAA. But now some federal judge ruled that HIPAA protection only
affects medical establishments, not individuals. So, you know, there are a lot of people saying, well, HIPAA rules say that I don't have to show you that I've been vaccinated or this and that. But anyways, the noose is tightening. God's going to make it where you're going to just decide point blank, no, I won't take it under any circumstances, period. And you may have to, you're just going to have to plead the blood of Jesus. You're going to have to plead Psalm 91 because that's where we're being taken.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
Sure is.
There's a reason people are leaving California by the droves, you know, because of the of a lot of that kind of stuff. So they're trying to flee the wrath to come, so to speak. You know, I mean, let's get out of here.
Well, you think it would wake people up to the fact that the way they have to incentivize all of this vaccine, getting the vaccine, should be a sign of there's something wrong here. Because if it was as deadly as they said, as they say, then
yeah,
they would just be telling people how deadly it is and how if you don't take it, you know. But it's not. It's all the carrots and whores galore in America is what comes to mind. But
yep.
Yeah, the lines are definitely being drawn. I know of several people who have been working at certain establishments for 20 plus years, some 30 plus years, and they're basically telling them that, look, if you want to continue your employment here, you're going to have to get the vaccine. And, you know, the time has come to draw the line, I guess. What's interesting to me is hard to believe, actually, is that those people that even that you thought wouldn't take it have taken it because of pressure, peer pressure, either family members. You got parents, younger parents with children that will not allow the grandparents to come and see the children unless they're fully vaccinated. And it's become that psychotic with regards to, yeah, getting the vaccine. I mean, there's churches now, I don't know if you saw that, but there's churches that you cannot attend live services unless you're fully vaccinated. You can attend online services if you're not. But so, yeah, the lines are being drawn. I was talking to Brother Brent in, well, texting back and forth in Canada, and boy, things are bad there. They got them locked down, and they're pretty close to basically knocking down your door and forced vaccinating you, setting up roadblocks. Basically, you got one day now to, Richard was talking about that, to travel and to take care of the things. But, yeah, the lines are definitely being drawn. And you know it's just a matter of time before they try another version of this and to come after the American people again. The noose was released much earlier than they wanted. You could see that because there's so many governors that are still trying to hold on to power. Newsom and Whitmer. I guess there's some encouraging news for Michigan here this week too, where Whitmer is being exposed for a lot of the things that she did with regards to the COVID lockdowns and do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, when you look out at the states, there are a lot of, as you said, John, governors that are, and states, it's the governors that are actually representing the majority of the people in the states that are putting their tongue on the top of their mouth and saying no. You know, there's Florida and several, I think 13 or 14 states have already passed laws that they will not honor or require vaccine passports. And not just with the vaccine, you know, Governor DeSantis in Florida, he just signed in, you know, against this transgenderism to where he would not allow these transgenders to participate in women's sports. And and of course he's being sued, you know, these limp-wristed people that want to destroy America. That's what they're doing. Well, they are. They're coming against you know, they are our enemy and they do not rest. But it is encouraging that some states have stepped up for that as well and said, no, we're not going to allow you, you 30-year-old man or 18-year-old man, biological male, to participate in women's sports and to go in their locker room and that. Some people are waking up to those things. It's good to see some states, some governors, and as has been said before, the harvest is ripe. You know, people are seeing as these lines are being drawn, as this evil is just continuing to grow and grow, that when you stand up against it, you know, the gates of hell come against you. And they're starting to see that, and I think that's one of the, you know, it's an opportunity for the Christian today to share the gospel and to share and say, you know why this is happening? This is happening because we are the people of the Bible, and God keeps his word. And as Hosea 4:6 says, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. How far back does it go generation-wise to where our fathers have forgotten his law to where he has forgotten us? And you know, when you start to look at the at what is going on in society today, whether it's because of this COVID, whether it's this transgender, this LGBTQDFers cramming it down your throat, you know, these perverts in our schools, it is God showing his word to be true. It's time and opportunity to, you know, for those that are searching, for those that are wanting, that are wondering why is this happening? It is LA County. Homicides are up 90% over last year. 90% that they're up in LA County, and they're having, just like many of the big cities, they're having law enforcement people leave in droves. Saw a headline this morning, 440 LA deputies have left so far this year. We've seen that in New York. We've seen that in St. Louis, in many Minneapolis, many big towns. And it shows the lawlessness that's there. And I think many of these that are leaving are the good ones that are seeing that their hands are tied. They cannot, you know, they're being charged with trying to keep the law and order, and their hands are tied. They can't do it. They're sued or shot if they try. And so they're just leaving. But they'll be replaced. They'll be replaced by those of... They'll be replaced by minorities. They'll be replaced by those of these generations that grew up, as it said in Egypt, that knew not God. And you think the police are bad now, that those bad apples that they've got in there are bad now. Wait till, you know, 50% of the police force has retired and left and been replaced with God knows what. And it will be getting interesting then. And it's God doing it all to bring his people back to him.
Amen. Well, yesterday marked 17 years of Killdozer, and I have something that I wanted to read. June 4th, 21 marks the 17th anniversary of Killdozer's rampage through Granby, Colorado. Sit down, kids, and let me tell you a tale. A tale about a reasonable man driven to do unreasonable things. Marvin Haymeyer was a man who owned a muffler shop in Granby, Colorado. The city council ordained to approve the construction of a concrete factory in the lot across from Marvin's shop. In the process, this blocked the only access road to the muffler shop. Marvin petitioned to stop the construction to no avail. Petitioned to construct new access roads and even bought the heavy machinery to do so himself. Denied. The The concrete factory went up in disregard to the ramifications on Marvin's business. To add insult to injury, the factory construction disconnected the muffler shop from the city sewage lines. An indifferent city government then chose to fine Marvin for this. His business and livelihood were in ruin. Rather than lie down and die, Marvin chose to fight back. Over the course of a year and a half, Marvin secretly outfitted the bulldozer he bought to save his business with 3-foot steel and concrete armor, camera systems, and enclosed bulletproof glass. On June 4th, 2004, Marvin Haymeyer lowered the armored shell over top of himself, entombing himself inside the killdozer to make his last stand. He burst forth from the walls of his muffler shop and straight into the concrete factory that ruined his business. Over the course of the next several hours, Marvin drove his killdozer through 13 buildings owned by those officials that had wronged him, including the city council building itself. SWAT teams swarmed the dozer, but it proved immune to small arms fire and even explosives. Another piece of heavy machinery was even brought out to fight the killdozer, but it too fell to the dozer's righteous fury. In the end, Marvin's killdozer became trapped in one of the buildings it was built to destroy. Marvin chose to take his life, the only life he took that day. Today we celebrate Killdozer Day and Marvin Haymeyer, the last great American folk hero, a man driven to the brink who chose to fight back against an indifferent system. From the notes he left behind after his passing, I was always willing to be reasonable until I had to be unreasonable. Sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That pretty much sums it up. I mean, it was 17 years ago, and there's a lot to that story. It shows you what some people are doing. But you know, he fought back, and there's a lot of people that have made a lot of said a lot of bad things about him. But he's got a pretty good following too. And the guy was he was a good man. He was a patriot, and you know, it's hard to believe. I remember hearing it come over the radio 17 years ago when they were talking about this, and we were trying to figure out what is going on. I mean, Granby's not that too far away from us. And
it ain't that big a town. It's a small town.
No, yeah. It's not.
Exactly. Yeah, he was a God-fearing man, too.
So. Yep.
There's actually a movie about it called Killdozer, I think, and it was pretty well portrayed. The book is better as far as the actual truth of what happened, I think, but the movie did not paint him out to be a conspiracy theory nut, which is what you would think that would have been, so it must not have been from Hollywood, but yeah, it's quite a story, really.
Yeah, the movie's called Tread.
Oh, Tread.
Yeah, at the time, the media really villainized him, you know, and there was no background, just how horrific. I mean, what kind of a guy, you know, they didn't,
right.
There was nothing else other than just, yeah, the horror and the terror that, he was probably one of our first domestic terrorists, according to the media, you know, at the time.
Yeah, I think that's how,
but he wasn't.
You know, back in, I think it was it 1777? What, they said about Nathan Hale. You know, he was a spy for the rebellion, and he was caught. I think he was 21 years old, and right before they hung him, they said, "You have any last words?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I regret that I have only one life to give for my country," and they hung him. And I'm sure that's what they said about him then too. You know, and so it's, you know, it's just a matter of perspective of how you look at it. Absolutely. This Marvin Haymeyer, you know, he struck fear into the hearts of those people. I think that's he obeyed Philippians 1:27-28. He conducted himself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In no way alarmed by his opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them and salvation for him. And, You know, you never know. We might all be able to get welding lessons from him someday. I think we might. We just might. And that's how we're to be. He was not alarmed by him, and he took the fight to them. And they know it.
One of the things that always occurred to me about that is it was a good example of what one guy can do. You hear that a lot of times, you know, well, what can one guy do against that? I mean, how can, you know, what is there? Well, he put the fear of God in him,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, I remember the live footage at the time. So there was definitely those people that were in those high places down there that thought they could run over him and destroy his life's work and, you know, do so with impunity and with the callous and cavalier attitude, he kind of called them to heel pretty quick.
Yes.
So, you know, there's...
Are you there?
Yes.
And another thing that happened this last week, or I guess it was, they had a, you know, they've got several of these black Second Amendment groups, and so it was 5 days ago, they had a speaker at the Tulsa rally, and they got all riled up, and it was just a, you know, a bunch of gun-toting, I would consider them Black Panthers, probably. But their speaker gets up on stage and in front of the news crews, in front of everybody, and says that there's going to come a point where we're going to kill everything that's white in sight. And,
yep.
You know, you see stuff like that, and it's stuff like that, and it's like, you know, sometimes we don't know why we're supposed to be armed, but we do know why we're supposed to be armed, because the Bible tells us to be.
That's right.
You know, we don't know who our enemy is going to be or what we're going to be fighting, but you know, we've got a duty to be armed. You know, it's an obligation, and you know, sometimes we don't know where the fight is going to come from, but. You know, that doesn't really matter. We will know when it's before us. How can they not come out and say that, you know, that's racist, or that's, you know, where's the outcry with that? You know, if a white person had said something like that, it would be
oh, yeah.
All over. And you know, they'd
yes.
be crucified. You know, they, you know, take down their websites and block their phone numbers and the news crews would be all over the place. You know, it's called, you know, this is racism, and that's exactly what it is. And they're racist. And you know, it's something that, you know, you people need to trust, put their faith in the Lord, but you know, be aware that these things are going on out there, and that they've got an enemy, and they've got people that would kill them. There's a lot of people out there that don't realize that they've got an enemy that would kill them just because they are white. And you know, it's something that people need to know.
Amen.
Absolutely. Good point.
And that was not an isolated case either, Jason. You see that if you look at any alternative media, you'll see it. There was a professor that was not reprimanded, that said that they had a dream where they shot every white person in the head. That was a quote. That was a quote. And you know, the university just says that's just how it is. No problems. And they don't worry about it. They don't. So yeah, keep. What was the old expression? Keep your powder dry, right? So you keep your powder dry and your Bible read. So, well, guys, we are all but out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in, and we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. That's 7:30 on the West Coast, guys. And join us for church. We'll be glad to to have you there, and it's an opportunity, even in the days we're in, to gather with like-minded Christians. So hopefully, guys, we'll see you in the morning.
And dying, playing along the side of the road, when a man filled with religion stood alongside him. He said, "I'll pray, but I just can't help carry the load." Come another, and he was a preacher. He just stood there looking straight at him. Wouldn't even reach down to try to help him. He just shook his head as he left town. Where is the love, Lord, that we're supposed to have? Where is the kindness that we need to show? Where's the compassion somehow we let slip away? Where is the love, Lord, as it too all passed away?
You got the love.